This is a segment from the Annex Sociology Podcast. For more information, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
Okay, so yeah, I kind of want to talk a little bit about the whole Roseanne reboot. Not so much about the show itself, but about the whole sort of hullabaloo surrounding the reboot of the show, and, you know, what the pundits and, you know, and other people in the quote-unquote media, what they've been saying about the show, and again, not about the content, but about supposedly what the really high ratings that the show has garnered since its new episodes has to say about whether or not, you know, Hollywood has gotten it wrong, whether or not, you know, Hollywood is too elitist, and whether or not there really is, you know, or there really are these two different Americas, right? The coasts and the middle, right? I didn't understand what the whole hullabaloo was about, partly because I haven't seen the show, but because I can remember when the first Roseanne iteration was around, I used to watch that show all the time, right? And I was like, you know, this like urban Brooklyn, like lower, you know, lower slash working class kid, right? Watching this family and who were all white, you know, all working class. And I felt like I had a lot in common with them. And even the things I didn't have in common with them, the show was still just really funny.
Right. And so what has been the fallout that you've seen?
Well, so it's not so much that it's fallout. It's that, you know, you have all of these pundits saying, oh my goodness, the fact that there are these really high ratings of the show, you know, whose primary star is this supposedly staunch supporter of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump loves her. You know, this show is supposedly, or at least the way in which I think people in the media, like, you know, in the news and the punditry have been sort of spinning it. Like, this is a sitcom that's designed for the quote unquote Fox demographic, right? But I think that's wrong. I think that that's very, very wrong-headed. And I think that this is yet another sort of indication that the idea that the people on the coast and the people in the middle of America are so incredibly different is this, you know, dare I say it, socially constructed difference, right? That doesn't actually really exist.
Well, first of all, I mean, it makes total sense that the ratings were good, right? TV audiences are down, and there is still about a third of the country is staunchly pro-Trump, feels embattled. And I'm guessing that people were just really excited at the prospects of seeing themselves represented in a TV program, right? Some of the reaction from some people reminds me of how some of my Asian friends reacted to the show. What was it called? Off the Boat or something? It was a hilarious show.
Fresh Off the Boat.
Fresh Off the Boat, right?
I love that show.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a really good show. People were like, wow. I mean, I just haven't seen people like me represented on TV. And they were just really anxious to tune in. And I think that Trump supporters have they're in that same situation. They feel alienated by the media. I mean, they say they feel alienated by the media. And somebody was smart enough to say, yeah, let's just put on a show. We'll make one character just like Trump supporters, and it was a big success.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if you think about the show in and of itself, and like I said, like, I think there have been three episodes. I've only seen clips. But I mean, if you think about the other characters in the show, she's got her sister, who's like a screaming liberal, right? The two of them mix it up all the time, right? She's got a daughter who has a non-gender conforming child, right? She has another daughter who's, I think it's her other daughter, who's married to a black guy, right? Right? These are not the things that, like, when I think we try to think about what Trump's America looks like, and like what the Fox demographic looks like, or what I think people imagine Roseanne's, like, even her fictitious world to look like, I don't think that that's what that's what we think about. And I think that that's kind of the point of the show. I think the point of the show is that, like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like everyone's got their own damn opinions, right? And sometimes you have people's differences of opinions in the same family, but at the end of the day, you're still family, right?
But do you think, like, do you think that seeing a Trump supporter have to engage, or like maybe in their perspective, deal with, like, you're naming these personifications of people who Trump voters probably feel like they struggle with, you know, like gender nonconformity. They can see it and then watch Roseanne struggle through it and maybe sympathize with the character and see their own personal struggles played out on
screen. Yeah, you couldn't have Archie without Meathead. You need someone to play off against it. It's part of having the curmudgeon that you have to have the deviant, or the, you know, the person who the curmudgeon isn't going to like, as a point of contrast. So yeah, you can't have effectively the kind of like cultural resentment without having the people who are culturally resented. But what I was thinking is actually, I think there is something to this idea that people like seeing themselves represented, and that includes, you know, the MAGA hat folks. You know, I think that's kind of secondary. And the other thing that's just going on is that there's a huge wave of nostalgia for the period where we still had a common culture based on three television networks. So, You know, you've seen a ton of shows from the early 90s rebooted and running on Netflix. So you had Full House, you know, where they rebooted Full House. Yeah. Nobody's reading anything political into that. Right. But it's the same basic phenomenon.
I know, right?
Where you're taking old TV shows, and then, you know, even aside from that, you have new intellectual property, but it's based on nostalgia for old intellectual property. So Ready Player One is basically a pastiche of, you know, all sorts of pop culture from the 1980s. Stranger Things, to a certain extent, is like that, although a bit more highbrow version of it. So, you know, I would say some of the popularity of the show is that, you know, it allows the MAGA hat folks to see themselves represented, and that is currently an underserved demographic. But I think also just a huge part of it is simply that, you know, we're seeing nostalgia for, you know, 80s, 90s entertainment writ large, and this is just one more part of that. Yeah, that's probably the main thing. Another way to think of this is if you imagine a counterfactual where there was brand new IP about, you know, original characters that nobody was familiar with before, about, you know, a family just like this, right? So it's exactly like everything Leslie described, but it was brand new characters that nobody had ever seen before. And let's assume that it was just as well written. I don't think it would be nearly as popular because it wouldn't have that nostalgia and brand awareness.
On network TV with a Trump character, I bet it would do just the same. I
think
really
it would
do.
Be popular, but I don't think it would be nearly as popular without the nostalgia factor.
We also shouldn't discount the fact that both John Goodman and Laurie Metcalf have also become pretty huge, right, since their Roseanne days. I mean, they were already, I think, you know, pretty well-lauded actors. But, I mean, since then, I think they've gone on to do great things in film and on stage. And I'm sure that there's also an audience that's tuning in simply just to see them act in whatever it is they're acting in.
So I also think, like, I mean, I asked you those questions naively because I was really struck by the fallout of the Roseanne episode as well. And I think a lot of the negative reaction was that the network had decided to play a Trump, put on a show with a Trump supporter as the main protagonist. And I get the sense that animosities are running so deep that people get mad to even see a Trump supporter depicted on TV. Like, it's almost like they're trying to erase that person from our, like, collective culture.
It's like seeing a heretic in a stained glass window.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? And it's just, this is one way to just keep the animus going in our society, keep things split up. You know, I often roll my eyes when I hear, oh, about how Hollywood doesn't like conservatives or whatever, but I see that type of fallout and I gotta think that's not gonna turn out well. You're just trying to erase people, even though they're like a third of the country.
MAGA erasure.
For more, visit us on the web, TheAnnexPodcast.com.